At some point, every one of us is hypocritical. But if your child accuses you of being hypocritical, we're going to address that today. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta. He's a counselor and a colleague. And Danny, it's got to be difficult when you hear somebody in your counseling practice where the child says, yeah, my parents, they said one thing, but they did another. They don't live what they preach. I mean, I'm guessing you've heard this before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard it in my own house, but talk about what that is like in the confines of a counseling session.
Yeah, so true. It has happened way too frequently. And one of them is they call it their parents on the cussing. They'll say, you know, our parents tell us not to use bad words. And then here they're using the same exact words they're telling us not to use. What, you know, the hypocritical behaviors there. A big one is when the parents have been talking to them about just their faith, and then there's a divorce. Unfortunately, that one has a long-lasting effect on kids. I mean, the ripple effect down the road, just on belief, on the perception and the respect towards the parents, it creates a ripple effect beyond just that moment of
divorce. Is there a specific thing that the child is thinking the parent is being hypocritical about, or is it just the general, you said you're a Christian, you say, but you don't act?
Yeah, it's you say you're a Christian, but you're not following the principles that we know to be Christian, that you've taught us.
Yeah.
And now you're not behaving within that space. And they look at that one behavior. There are a lot of complexities to behaviors that we have as parents, and we're not going to be perfect. And so we are going to be hypocritical. And I talk to the kids about that. I go, everyone is hypocritical because there's an imperfection and people have emotions and they spill out. Yeah, let's talk about the things that you're seeing in your parents specifically that you're honing in on and why. Why is that such an important place for you to go? And what has it done to you? What offense has it put on your life so that they own it instead of just parking in blame?
Well, I appreciate that. And that's a perfect lead-in to this clip that we have featuring Focus on the Family President Jim Daly. He and I had a conversation with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. And Dr. Lutzer addressed some of the factors that might contribute to a child rebelling, and that includes hypocrisy.
We're there at that spot. I wanted to talk about parenting types because in the book you mentioned that, two specifically that tend to lend toward a prodigal, the development of a prodigal child. I found that very fascinating. One is the hypocrite. The other is kind of the self-righteous parent. This is really important. And I think most parents will back up from that self-examination. I would ask you to step forward into this because I think we as Christians particularly can lean in particularly to that self-righteous characteristic because we're trying to live a life that is good before the Lord. And sometimes that becomes too much about rules and obligation, and that can push your child away.
The self-righteous parent tends to turn the children away from himself, from his wife, from God. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the children know that there are rules. And, you know, I quote Josh McDowell, a great quote, rules without relationship equals rebellion.
It's a great
quote. So what you do is you lay all the rules on the child, and usually you have standards that they cannot live up to. And therefore, the child just feels hopeless. He can't really please dad and mom anyway. And they are so strict because they want to raise their children right. And they over-discipline the child. And as a result, the child walks away. And then the second parent that you've referred to is the one who has lost all moral authority because of their own rebellion and their own sin. And the best illustration in the Bible that just blows me away is David. After David committed adultery with Bathsheba and, of course, had her husband killed, he lost all moral authority in his family. Over and over, it says, even when Absalom rebelled, David became angry, but he did nothing. The scripture expressly says that. In other words, how could he go to his children and say, live righteously, when everybody knew what he had done? Now, Jim, this is so critical. I've thought about that a lot. I think that if David had humbled himself and gone to his children and said, you know, what I did was sinful and evil, and I was not a model for you, but this is wrong. He might have been able to recoup some of the damage, but he didn't do that. But this is so interesting to me. Psalm 51, he has the joy of his salvation restored to him, but his family is lost. It's a mess.
Yeah.
And I speak to those who are parents today to realize that no matter how far you have fallen, you can have the joy of your salvation restored to you, but remember this, that will not necessarily mean that your family is going to come back, but you can certainly take some steps to help them make that decision.
Absolutely.
Well, it's always tough to look in the mirror and to recognize my faults, and there are certainly some tender emotions around the impact of my faults on my kids. It's so important for us, Danny, to apologize to our children when we have an opportunity. So coach us through that. How can we do that well?
Well, it's beginning with what you're intending to do, and that is to bridge back, to restore a relationship. And so you start with where's your heart at? Are you just trying to do this as a task because you don't want to be disconnected? Or are you truly sorrowful? And I've seen repair in the counseling office, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's a redeeming moment when you get to be a part of it and just watch it.
So is this a situation perhaps where the parent has already kind of laid the groundwork and started to apologize, or have you seen those breakthrough moments like, wow, didn't know that was coming?
So I've seen both,
okay,
John. And the ones where there's been a relationship that has been built over time and there's a lot of trust, those are pretty special where you see the repair where there has been a big divide. Mm. But when there's a sudden miraculous moment of forgiveness and repair, you know God's in the middle of that, and they allowed it to be there. And generally, what I've done is prayed with the parents beforehand and have said, okay, let's pray this through to be prepared for that moment, because God's going to need to do some preparation in your kids' hearts as you're coming in and asking for forgiveness. And there have been some powerful moments. There's actually one that I'm thinking of right now, John, where the dad repaired with his son. His son's now an adult, and they get together on a regular basis. Mm. At some point, the son never wanted to see the dad ever again. And I've had a few of those moments, and we've talked about a different one in sessions past. This is a whole different one where the dad and the son would have brawls. Huh. They would punch each other. They'd be outside on the lawn wrestling each other in the kitchen. It was an all-out just fight that they had. And this was when he was getting close to 18, 19. Yet there was a desire for repair from the dad, and he initiated that and brought a humble heart, a loving heart, owned what he needed to own. And that created a trajectory of humility to come between the two of them. And now they get together whenever they can and no more brawls.
Oh, that's remarkable. Yeah. And so just to break it down, I hear you saying, stop and assess your part of this, pray about it all, and then actively seek to repair the relationship and to apologize for what you did.
Yeah.
And then pray for your child's heart as you're going to them, because ultimately this is a work of God on their heart, not something that you can manipulate.
Absolutely. Good summary, John. I love it. And a humble heart is key at the center of that.
Well, we want to help you have great relationships with your children. And there may be times that you've got to apologize, but you don't know how to begin. Despite the little summary I just gave there, it's hard work. And we want to coach you through that. We have a counseling team here, and they're a phone call away. When you call 800, the letter A in the word family, and ask to speak with a counselor, we'll set up a time for them to give you a call back, and they'll coach you through and help you find ongoing professional help nearby if you need that. And certainly we'd recommend the book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, A Practical Guide for Praying Parents, which is a really great, encouraging resource on praying for your children, regardless of their age. We're making that available today for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Support the show. We'll send the book to you. Details are in the show notes.
And we'll hear more from Dr. Lutzer next time. And for now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Smalley.
And I'm Erin Smalley.
Marriage is an amazing gift from God, but it can also be a challenge sometimes.
That's right. We could all use a little guidance.
And that's why we started our podcast, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage.
We talk about things like recognizing conflict cycles, dealing with stress, and how to grow your love each day.
Listen at crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We can't wait to see you there.